Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yo, this is John Spider Sally, four-time NBA champion, and you are listening to Steiny and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We'll see.
Spider! I'm down on Spider. I thought we were trying to get a weekly with him.
We are, but and the next time we do a show or we have him on, I gotta come down his road.
What? For what?
For being a Michael Jordan bootlicker.
Dude,
he actually said that Barkley was in the wrong for criticizing Jordan
and his
ownership. Oh, you can't do that. Wow. He was a friend.
It doesn't even matter.
Okay, so Barkley's supposed to just lie?
Yeah.
Okay.
The greatest basketball player ever.
Yeah. And the worst owner ever.
That. Should have never even tried for that job.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay. I don't even care about what didn't happen in Charlotte.
Scott Osler coming up in 10 minutes. You know what? Do me a favor. I want you to ask Osler the first question.
Oh, okay.
Because I know you're excited. You love him.
And I've had dinner, him and his wife and mine.
Oh.
Yeah, we broke bread together.
Okay.
When Evan and I ran. They had the Banez' retirement party.
Was a party.
But they had food and a great
But you just happened to be at the table with him. You
but
didn't
then
really
we bonded.
Go out.
The ladies bonded. And yeah.
Right, you didn't.
We all were there.
But it was a party.
We bonded. We're tight. And Evan and I ran into him at the Niner game.
Yeah, we broke bread, Steiny.
Yeah.
When? In the
Monday
media
football.
Room?
Yeah. Hey, last time you been to a Niner game in the media room? You need to come out.
It's Candlestick.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
You got to get out there.
Why?
For the show?
I'm better on the show when I watch a game on television.
Yeah, I got that. People were asking about you, that's all.
Hey, Evan, you're real familiar with St. Mary's basketball. Do they have a general manager?
Yeah, like a manager of properties. It's more related to Learfield. Like, that's the entity that owns their broadcasting rights. So technically, yes.
So they have a Woj at St. Mary's. Like, Woj has just become... Adrian Wojnarowski's gone from being the number one newsbreaker on ESPN, NBA. He's now the general manager of the St. Bonaventures basketball program.
Probably different role because he's, I would imagine, far more connected than the St. Mary's general manager. But yes, they have one.
Does Cal have one?
Probably, yeah.
I got to believe San Jose State, Stanford?
I think I could do that job.
Dude, what if you...
I think I could do that
job. You couldn't leave here, though.
Franklin and Marshall might need
a New York minute.
Franklin and Marshall might need a general manager.
No, that means you have to go back east. You ain't in there.
Oh, that's only a matter of time.
Tulane?
I could
go Green Wave.
But I feel like you'd be the kind of guy who jumps high. I don't like him. Like, you'd have to take all your prejudices away. You just have to be like, dude.
I'd have no prejudices.
Well, right now you hate the ha-ha, so you go scout a dude with the ha-ha. You probably won't like him.
I love ha-ha if the player can also perform the fundamentals of the game.
Yeah, gotcha.
Well, first you need to realize that the general manager is not there for basketball-specific reasons.
Mm.
It's more of a business role.
But, yes, but it's...
Like, selling the program, but not... Not recruiting.
No, but it's...
Or developing.
But he just... Woj is just doing the basketball program.
Yeah, but he's, I imagine, going to be part of selling the program, involving himself with sponsorships, trying to find a way to expand the St. Bonaventure brand.
I can expand a brand.
Well, no, but it's not your job to opine on if a player can go left or not.
Right. So what you want to do
I would need that in my job description. That I could
okay,
do that.
There you go.
What?
No, Evan was basically telling you... That wouldn't allow you to do what you want or think, you know, judging the players.
So you're saying I don't have the skill set for that?
You would have to adjust your skill set.
Let's go to Wendy. She's in the Twin Cities.
Hey.
Actually, that's not, I don't know if she is. She's in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. I'm here.
Oh, hey, Wendy.
Okay. I'm the A-plus call that called you from the non-Viking fan that called you the other day.
Yeah, okay. I remember.
Yeah. Okay, so first thing I want to say real quick is, as much as I hate, dislike Kirk Cousins, I actually had to root for him during that Philly game because I just can't stand the Eagles. So I was actually cheering for Kirk in that game, which was difficult for me to do. Anyhow, I kind of agree with Steiny about Brandon Ayuk needs to show up. Trent Williams needs to show up. All the back and forth with Ayuk saying, oh, I want to be traded. Oh, I don't want to accept that trade. I don't want to go to Cleveland. I don't want to go to New England. I want to be a 49er. I'm holding in. I'm holding out. I'm traveling with the team. I'm not. I don't care if you're making $60 million or $6. You need to show up. Trent Williams needs to show up. I know he's 36 and he's probably only going to play like one more year. Show up. The whole team needs to show up. And I also don't think that by if you had paid Brock Purdy like $60 million this year, and based on these first two games, I really don't think you can go after him because guess what? He's already, in the short time he's been here, he's won an NFC championship, gone to the Super Bowl. What has Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, Craig Dunn, or Caleb Williamson? And they got huge contracts, and they're doing basically nothing, especially Dak. So
you preaching.
The whole idea of, right? The whole idea of like, oh, he has all these star players. You know, what is he going to do without his star players? Any team would look different without their top two or three players. So, if you sign him next year for $60 million or $40 million or whatever, sure. Maybe it's going to be based on the whole season, not just a little, like, a two-game series that, yeah, they probably should win. But I also think they also need to get another receiver and another running back. And Kyle can't run Mason into the ground because then we're really going to be screwed. And you know what? This is all, it all comes down to play calling. All of it. Yep. If Ayuk only gets three catches, that's on Kyle. If Mason gets 30 runs, that's on Kyle. If Kittle only gets two catches, that's on Kyle. It all comes down to the play calling and being able to adjust with the players that you have on the field. But yeah, I'm kind of, Ayuk doesn't deserve a pass. He's the one that put himself in that position.
Thanks, Wendy. Appreciate the call. Goo doesn't hold the players accountable. He's famous for that.
Yes, stop.
Evan?
Come on. I'm the one that does, and I'm not going to hold the players accountable.
Now, that's AI.
That's not.
Say that. Jesus, that hurt. But I'll say this. I can't wait to ask Scott about the question you posed to the listeners and myself. Why hasn't this regime got it done, in your opinion? And to Wendy's point, can we take Caleb Williams off the list? The guy just start playing. So I'm not defending him at all. I will say this. You can be the highest paid quarterback in the league and still not be the best. A la up until, look at our guy in Green Bay, Steiny. Has his life changed or his approach to the game? I know he got hurt in Brazil, but I'm talking about Jordan Love. He had that, you know, that award per se, and he was going to go about his football life hadn't changed. He was going to do what he did, and the Packers bet on him to come, you know?
Yes.
So it could happen here with Brock, but I think scrutiny's already started.
Yeah, I think
it has too. Never given him his flowers, feeling like, oh, you're just a product of the system.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons he's gotten more scrutinized over the years is because the stakes are high. Now this year, they've got to determine what to pay him by the end of the year. And then next year, he's gonna be the quarterback known for making, maybe resetting the market. And if he resets the market,
naturally,
then we're going to view him differently.
Yeah. But it's up to him, just like Ayuk, Steiny. And that's what's funny about Ayuk. I feel like it's a combo platter of, let's just say he's off to a slow start. Is it because of no camp, which I want to say majority of it is, or is it because of the pressure of getting the big deal and the way that it went down and some people thought you might be greedy? He might be listening right now. You fool, I could give a damn what the Jackals say. I got paid. I just need to get my wind up, more reps, and I'll be fine. It could be that. But I guess it's all upstairs on how the said player feels after they sign a deal.
The other problem is if Brandon Ayuk is essentially the same receiver he was last year,
had a career year last year,
or his numbers drop a little, it's not going to be good enough. Especially, this is a big, This is a big game for Brandon Ayuk. There's no getting around it.
Like, I'm
They've
not going to tell
two
you it's not.
Of their biggest offensive weapons, and he just got paid big boy money.
But what if the Rams double him?
Okay. Oh, didn't
no
the Niners
excuses.
Double Jefferson?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
But how'd that work out?
So put up or shut up.
No, but this could be the game where Kittle gets 12 targets.
Okay.
Or Jawan Jennings gets
Great.
9. If Brock is like, you know what? You got a lot of people lot of people over there. A lot of red, a lot of blue and gold over there. I'm going to go somewhere else with the ball.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
So if he ends up, you just
don't want him to. What's wrong with a guy feeling pressure?
I'm that pressure, my nickname.
Okay, well then. Quit sweating Ayuk and just say, you're right, Steiny. He's
so
got to come around.
Does it sound like I'm trying to take that off his plate or platter?
Does it sound like Guru's trying to take that off Ayuk's plate?
No, not at all.
I don't know.
Let's just say the game ends and he has his normal 4 for 40. Let's just say they win by 10. They win by 10. He has 6 targets, catches 4 of them.
Yeah, that would be a normal game for him.
And then they go up to his locker, hey, Brandon, you ain't putting up the numbers. And then they go to Purdy, and he's like, you know what? There was a lot of traffic over there. I chose to go somewhere else with
That's
the Rock.
Fine. Just win the game.
Yeah. All right. Bonte, what
Just
you
win
say?
The game and
3-0,
be a factor.
6-3.
Just be a factor.
Mm. Well, he is just outlining up right
we'll
now,
see.
Especially with what they don't have.
Well, we'll see. I mean, look, the bottom line is they overpaid the guy. They overpaid IU.
Yeah.
And if they had to, but... They overpaid.
Why do you think they had to? Because what if they
because
didn't
they
have them
Because they want to try to win a Super Bowl.
What if they didn't have them now? Think about that.
They'd still have their best receiver right now on the roster, Jawan Jennings. He's better than Ayuk right now. I think he's more reliable. We got him?
Yeah. Our guy, Scott.
Okay, are you ready for the first question, Gil?
Yeah.
All right. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Let's welcome in Scott Osler, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle.
Legend.
He's also worked at the L.A. Times and quietly worked at the National.
Wow.
The National.
You went back
What's
with
up,
them.
Scott?
Hey, I still got a big stash of National t-shirts and other goodies, beach towels and stuff.
Any XLs?
I probably do.
All right.
I'll see if I can dig one out.
Cool.
Dig two. I'm XL these days. Scott, I told the missus we were having you on. She said hello. You tell the missus and Gabe I said hello. But I got to ask you this question the great Steinmetz came up with. And he asked me, since 19 under Kyle Shanahan, 2 Super Bowl visits, 4 NFC championship visits, why hasn't this regime or team closed the deal? How would the great Scott Osler answer that?
Oh, just circumstances. Made a couple mistakes here and there. But for me, getting that close is, I'm not saying it's good enough, but that shows me that they know what they're doing. They just, you know, maybe Kyle's decision to kick off and take the first kick in the Super Bowl and stuff like that. I don't know. That's small stuff. But the fact that they were right on the doorstep a couple times is, you know, I can't say that it's a failure, you know?
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We're talking to Scott Osler of the San Francisco Chronicle. Scott, let me ask you this. You know, Brock Purdy's making $1 million, and assuming everything follows the script, he's going to be paid, you know, maybe 50 times $1 million. How do you how does that change of the fans' perception of him? Do you believe that next year, if he's making that big money, we're going to look at him differently?
Oh, yeah, everybody's going to look at him differently. And it's kind of unfair, but that's just the way it works. I'm thinking the way the market's going, it's got to be 60. If he walks in the offseason and is not able to demand a minimum of $60 million, that means he's had a subpar season. You know, if he comes in and says, you know, I'll take $50 million, that means he was disappointing and the team was disappointing. So I think they're hoping he walks in as a $60 million quarterback. But if he does, money always changes everything. You know, it changes the player. It changes the fans' perception. I remember I was talking to Tony La Russa once about money, you know, and the big money. And he said that in his experience, a big money contract fundamentally changes about 80 to 90% of players. It just does.
Huh.
So It could change Brock. It could change the perception. It certainly changed the makeup of the team for sure. So, although you can't say if he signs for 60 or 65 million, that there's going to be more pressure on him, because how much more pressure can there be on the guy?
Wow.
He had pressure when he was the third stringer, and then when they made him a starter. Then he got to the Super Bowl. How much more pressure can there be? I think he is. I don't think the pressure is going to get to Brock Purdy at any point, no matter what he makes.
Wow, Scott, I hate that I'm programmed this way, but Evan and I saw you at the game Monday, and I was like, that damn Niner defense. And a week later, a lot went wrong in Minnesota. But what bothers me most, Scott, is there was no defensive pressure. Minnesota ran the ball, let Darnold get comfortable. What bothered you most about that loss in Minnesota?
Oh, that was big, yeah. No, it just seemed like the pressure was all on Purdy. I don't know what the exact stats were, but he got pressured a lot. He got sacked, what, six times? That's a lot. He got knocked down a lot. And Darnold didn't. And I'm thinking, I haven't broken down film or anything like that, but what was Nick Bosa? Were they triple-teaming him? You can't lay it all on him because, you know, the interior pass rush was a little deficient. They had a couple mistakes in the secondary, but yeah, way too comfortable. Another thing that bothered me is this talk about how Brian Flores screwed up the offense, the 49ers offense, by mixing things up. You know, he's brilliant. He mixes things up. Well, again, I'm not deep enough expert, I guess, but isn't that what every defensive coach does? You try to disguise the coverages and mix things up and fool them and change up and you know, blitz when they don't think you're going to blitz and vice versa. So I don't see why that should be an excuse that Brian Flores was so brilliant that he confused them.
Scott Osler joining us on 95.7 The Game. He writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. Let me switch it over to the baseball team, the San Francisco Giants, Scott. And you've been around here. Yeah, it's been 10 years since they've won a playoff series. What do you think's going on with Farhan Zaidi? Do you think he'll be back? And how does this franchise get back to relevancy like they were 10 years ago in this town?
Yeah, well, I think the deal is that obviously Farhan is on somewhat thin ice. The deal changes because we thought that Farhan had 2 years left on his contract, and that had been reported a bunch of times. And for some reason, the Giants and Farhan never corrected those reports. That he actually only has one season left, and so that changes the deal. So it would be easier to fire him. But if they were going to fire him, I think they probably would have done it by now. So I think that the situation is that he's going to be around again, but under different circumstances. I just don't think they can just sail into the offseason saying, all right, Farhan, we missed this time. Give it another shot, buddy. Slap him on the back and send him away. There's going to be some changes within the organization, I think. Whether it's hiring somebody else from the outside to be under Farhan and maybe take more, maybe have Farhan not do everything, you know, have him delegate some responsibility. Maybe Buster's going to take a little bit bigger role. I'm not sure Buster would want to be general manager anyway, but maybe Buster takes a bigger role. Maybe they bring in somebody like a Billy Owens from the outside to take over scouting in another department or two. So, you know, Farhan, they've just maybe given him too much. They brought him in and said, you run everything. You do everything. You be in charge of everything. And more so than, say, under Brian Sabian and stuff. And maybe they're rethinking that, and maybe they're going to him and saying, man, it's not working. Here's some new rules here. Here's some new guidelines. Here's what we want you to do. So I think there'll be fundamental changes within, but and soon.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
They can't wait two or three months to do tweaking and adjusting. They got to move and groove, because that's been one of the problems all along, is that when Farhan does sign somebody, it's always too late in the game. It's too they got to be very quick strike, proactive right now, I think.
Yeah, Scott, I've been, you know, in the Bay Area my whole life, and I've, you know, you've been reporting. But I'll tell you something that happened during a football weekend, over the weekend that happened, and now I feel like I don't know what to believe, but there were reports about Buster Posey's involvement and the signing of Matt Chapman and the messages that maybe the Giant ownership was sending that Farhan wasn't up to par or they didn't trust him. And then there's another report from the Athletic saying that that story wasn't true. And I wasn't used to that here in this market. What did you make of all that? If you kind of get my drift on where I'm going about, you know, how involved Buster was in the Chapman signing.
Yeah, there was one report that Buster was kind of the deal maker. It kind of gave the impression that Zaidi couldn't get it done, dithering back and forth with Scott Boras. They couldn't get things done. Finally, Buster, I'm maybe overstating misrepresenting the story. I'm going to try to get it right. But the story is that, you know, Buster kind of got pissed off and stepped in and said, I'm going to go right to Chapman.
Yeah.
We're going to hammer this out. And he went down and did it. Well, on further review, and Susan Slusser and John Shea from our paper did a story kind of getting into that. And the picture we paint is more nuanced, shall we say, that it's not uncommon. For instance, Zaidi can't go right to Chapman and talk to him because that's kind of against the rules. And so it's not unusual for somebody else in the organization, like in this case, Buster, to go to the player, directly to the player, and make the case. You know, maybe the 49ers did that a little bit with Ayuk and Shanahan. And so I think that it was a little bit more business as usual than may have been presented in the first story. So, but that being said, I kind of see Buster as maybe taking a little bit bigger role. Like I said, I don't think he wants to be one of those 24/7 general manager types, but maybe taking a bigger role and exerting more of a baseball influence on in an analytics driven organization. And I think that would be good because, you know, you got to have some people in the baseball organization that have a baseball heart, you know, who have actually played the game.
Scott Oslo joining us on 95.7 The Game. He comes courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Let me throw this last one at you. And one of the things that I know about you, Scott, is you have a big picture perspective that I really respect. And I'm going to make a statement, or I'm going to ask you a question about Macklin Celebrini. Is there any chance that he is such a phenom that he could put hockey more on the map in the Bay Area?
Absolutely. What, at first it was only a rookie game or whatever it was, one of the exhibition-type things. He came out and scored a goal right away.
Yep.
He seems to have that thing. You know what? I was down in Los Angeles working many years ago when the Kings traded for Wayne Gretzky. And Wayne was kind of middle to late in his career, still really great. And there was some controversy. Did they give up too much? And I made the case back then that, oh my God, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky. He could change everything. And he really did. Even drug in guys like me who are, you know, not hockey oriented. He changed the whole picture. And I think Celebrini has the potential anyway to grab people, you know, get their attention. Hey, hockey, let's check it out, man. This guy's so good. You know, kind of like Caitlin Clark in a way with the WNBA.
Mm. Yeah.
Good call.
Hey, Scott, thank you so much for joining us as always, and wish you nothing but the best.
Appreciate it.
Okay, fellas, and in your reward for having me on, I'll try to dig up a couple of those
pieces.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Take care, buddy.
So long, fellas.
All right, Scott Oslo, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop?
Yeah,
Lathrop.
It is fascinating what's about to pop off with the Giants.
I think the Sharks.
Oh, no, I love that you knew that. I said, well, you knew he scored. See, this one we should have him on the show when we're not after nothing just to let him know he's family. Hey, how's it going?
October 12th.
Well, let's get to him before, so it ain't like, you know what I mean? When the demand is high for him.
I'll be down at the tank. October 12th. Put in the cap.
All right. I'm going with you. I'm going. I don't know where you'll be. I'm going. I know how to get around by the tank. Point is, let's get him on the show again just to shoot the stuff with him.
Can you not steal my Sharks Thunder? I want them to be. I want them to be my team, not yours.
Wow.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. There is one thing Scott said about the Giants. We call this halftime. It is halftime, meaning we're halfway through the week. We're going to not look back on the Vikings game and look ahead a little bit toward the L.A. Rams. L.A. Rams. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Slap me for what I'm doing.
This is Macklin celebrating, and you're listening to Steiny and Guru.
October 10th, Sharks opener at the Tank. It's a Thursday.
Against who?
The Kings? I think Saturday, the game I'm going to be going to, their second game, I think that's against the Ducks. If I'm not mistaken.
You got
to
Google it.
Celebrini. And don't forget Will Smith, their first-round pick from a year ago. Let me ask you a question. I kind of like
that. Where's he from?
Will Smith?
Yeah.
He's on the Sharks. So, pardon me? Oh, they open with the Blues. Woo!
St. Philadelphia, Louis. Born and raised.
Will Smith?
Oh, on the playground is where he spent most of favorite. His days.
Who?
You. Him being from Philly.
Who is? Will Smith?
Oh, it went over my... The original Will Smith.
Oh. Yeah, it's
Jada Pinkett's Will Smith.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You think we'll ever talk about the Sharks?
Oh, dude.
I do. Just like we'll talk about the Valkyrie once they get their Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark.
I wonder.
Then what do you mean?
I can't wait
for the WNBA playoffs. I can't wait for this year's Sharks. 7:00. I think they do 7:30. 7. There are teams.
Stop copying me.
Please, I was at Ricky Tits.
What does he have to do with anything?
He took me to a playoff game years ago. I've been to the Tank. This is new for you.
I've been to the Tank. I covered the Sharks back in the day. Uh-huh. I've been in that press box.
You always use that card, and I'm like, he's lying.
No, I used to not cover him.
I've
covered some games.
But you haven't been to a playoff game. I've been to few. E-40 came out and hit the... What do they call that where you do the thing before?
Hey, did you see Mike Conley?
Yeah, I didn't.
My God. But let me guess. If Draymond Green does it in San Francisco, it's great.
How could you have
a problem with Mike Conley blowing the shaka horn?
I was looking for Ann Edwards. that's what the thing was. Whooped the Niners' ass.
Hey, Evan, there's a legitimate question for you on the text line.
Oh, boy.
What's the difference between an athletic director and a general manager at a college?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, why don't you answer
that? No, I want Evan
Mouth.
To go. Go ahead, Evan.
You got to go?
No, I'll let you do it.
Oh, well, thank you. The athletic director oversees all sports, whereas a general manager oversees one or a couple and generally deals with those properties. So the athletic directors, their role is more all-encompassing.
Gotcha. There you go, Chucky. That's who wanted the...
Speaking of which, Shaka, Viking fan, hadn't called all week.
Right, because some fans are classy.
Oh, wow.
And they don't stick it to you just because they win a game.
All right.
Shaka knows it's early.
All right.
It's early.
They look good.
Mark Schlereth was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and you might not like this sound, but take a listen to what he said about the Niners, their injuries, and one Brandon Ayuk.
this is what you paid Ayuk for, right? Ayuk is wanted to be a top three wide receiver, want to be paid like a top three wide receiver. Well, you know, I've said it from day one, you're not, so you're going to take less than that, and that's just the way I feel. But, hey, now you can prove me wrong, right? You can be the go-to guy in this offense, and you can be the guy that bails out Purdy, and you can be his, you know, his number one guy. Go show everybody that you know, you sat, you know, you held in, for instance, for a reason. And so now it's your opportunity to shine. And I think he needs to take that very seriously and go out there and be the guy that takes all the pressure off the injured guys that they have.
But Mark, what if he's double teamed?
Please. And he does a weekly with those guys, Willard and Dibbs. No, I get it. Everybody is, I got it. The spotlight is on him. Just like it's on me for this shirt. They're saying I look like Chris Tucker in
I don't know what that means.
Oh, okay. Well, no, they're just calling me Honey Gustard. With the color of the shirt, people not feeling the color.
You know, I realize why I look over at Evan, because I look for him to nod when he understands something. Like, who did, I don't know. You made a reference.
Yeah. Ricky and boys in the hood.
And I'm a square.
I look like Ricky.
I'm an L7, so please explain it to me.
Just Chris Tucker and
okay.
Jackie Chan did a movie.
He's a comedian.
Yeah. But
Chris Tucker.
Yeah, but he was a detective in one of these movies. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Someone called you Morris Chestnut?
Not yet. I ain't got to Morris Chestnut. Oh, you might see it.
Okay, who's that?
The actor in Boys in the Hood and Best Man.
He plays Ricky.
I've seen Boys in the Hood. Singleton, right?
Yeah, Ice Cube.
Yeah, I mean, the director was Singleton, I believe.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yep.
Oh, he's passed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been a while.
That was a good movie. It was a real good movie. You want to hear more Mark Schlereth? Or yeah. Are you not putting the pressure on you?
That's my nickname, Pressure. I'm the one of the show that called. You like, no. You like your little safe space. You got to put up numbers.
Oh, now he's got to put up numbers.
But the biggest numbers are at his ATM when he goes to get withdrawals, because he got the bag. Stink didn't even want him to get the bag.
I don't understand your point with, like, he got the bag, so he won.
You know what? Let me do it
okay. This
way. Say what you want, and it's about the Rams. It's Lamb Week. But the bottom line is the pressure is 10 times more on Purdy if we want to do the financial aspect of this all. The winner is Trent and IU. They got their bread. They can fall on their face. They got it. Brock Purdy, and he'll never say this, Steiny, that pressure, it has to be the most when you start. Could he reset the market? And then bam, bam, back to back, you find out that two of his best weapons, two of the most unique dudes in the game, are not playing. So if I said I want to be fair, but good God, what if we get three more weeks of no Ayuk and Debo? Excuse me, no McCaffrey and Debo, and Purdy looks regular.
Well, what would you say?
What's that 60 number? People gonna be saying 2015 or Kirk Cousins? Like, that's the rat on the table. So to me, that's pressure. That's pressure. Ayuk will always, and I'm not justifying it, Steiny, he'll always say, "Goo, I got the bread, family. Talk about me and my bad year all you want." Brock is playing for that bag. You know what I mean? According to who you listen to, did some money come down on that? Or that's too soon?
I'm trying to decide, and I'm being dead serious here, whether I agree with you or not about because there's something about Ayuk got paid.
So he's
safe. I think there's more pressure on him.
All right.
And I get those checks are going to keep coming.
So there's no automatic. Not to cut you off, there's no financial component to the Ayuk pressure. You know what I mean?
But he got that 30. Didn't he have it last year going into a contract year?
Yeah, and he had his best year ever.
Okay.
So
why can't Purdy respond like Ayuk last year?
I'm not saying he can't, but it's already off to a pedestrian start if you look at what happened in Minnesota. He's got one touchdown pass and two picks, or a fumble. They call it a fumble, but I'm just saying, like, hey, out there.
Yeah, I don't, like, I get Purdy's got a contract.
That's
he's big. But he's going to get more than Ayuk.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. I don't think he can have a bad enough year.
I was looking at it from the vantage point of him resetting the quarterback market, which he still could. But, like, what's he got? What's the regression, or what we deem the Jackals, like, the regression got to look like?
Well,
do the Niners go 10-7? You talked about 31-13. Those were his numbers last year. That's incredible. What if that bad boy is 22-15 this year? You know, I don't know. But I can't. For somebody, if I run into them in the bank or the local grocery store, if they're talking about that, I can feel that. Like, and I'm not saying it's going to affect Brock at all, but that's pressure.
Every player comes into a contract year.
Mm.
Every single player. So, I think whatever pressure Purdy feels now, it's going to double or triple next year. And that's what I feel about
Even
IU.
After he will have made the most, he gets that increase, whatever that is.
That's why he's going to have more pressure on him.
Yeah.
External pressure, anyway. But Iuke, I agree with Schlereth. It's like,
oh no,
you got to come through. You got to come through.
And I just wonder how much of what we're not seeing from Iuke, Steiny, you put at the doorstep of he didn't have camp. So brother going to work it out, and it'll take a couple weeks, but he'll be back. Or some people not giving him those weeks because you signed that deal, you need to be ready. You chose to sit out, sit in.
Exactly. Kevin Harlan was on also with the afternoon show with Willard and Dibbs. And look, there's a common theme here. Listen to what Kevin Harlan said, only this is about Purdy.
He's going to have to be lights out. And quarterbacks that make $40, $50 million a year, that's the way they've got to play when they don't have every part at their disposal. And he's not going to have the parts that make that team special. He doesn't have the engine in McCaffrey. He doesn't have that ubiquitous piece in Deebo Samuel. He's going to have to, you know, the offense is going to have to adjust, and he's going to have to be right there leading that adjustment. So these next weeks are incredibly revealing. And I think it will just solidify his place, not just for this season, but for the rest of his career, in how he handles this offense without having the main parts and the most headline-making guys at his disposal.
Wow. Stoney, whoa.
I mean, basically what I heard Harlan say is, yeah, these next 2-3 weeks, they're going to go a long way toward determining if Purdy's the franchise quarterback. Wow. Did 49er fans hear
I heard that,
or was it different?
That. And he said it's stronger than that. It, like, wow. I mean, the Rams are dealing with injuries, right? It's injury city, so I guess if you're Brock Purdy and you had to pick an opponent, you would want it to be the Rams with what they don't have at their disposal.
But the Rams have a hell of a coach, right?
And a quarterback.
So
if Sam Darnold can beat you, Matthew Stafford can.
You know, Matthew Stafford was in the league 12 years before he won a Super Bowl?
Well, that's a long time.
Right, he won it his 13th year.
That's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boss apparently put out a tweet last night. Did you see it?
What? How would you know?
Evan told me, but
okay.
Didn't you see it?
No.
You don't follow?
No, at night, he's one a great follow, but I'm staying off of Twitter a little bit at night.
I guess the tweet said winning a Super Bowl is hard.
That's the Niners under Kyle.
It was a video.
Oh.
See, he's into that.
Why don't you just ask the boss? You were in there earlier.
You in his office this morning?
Because this is what happens when I ask the boss something. Right there.
No.
Well,
you went in the boss's office? What are you talking about?
Well, you went in.
Right. Wow, I didn't know.
So
man.
Why don't you just ask him about the video while you were there?
We're talking about something.
Go in?
Forget about asking him. Why did you just tell my partner that I walked into the boss's office before the show? You know how he gets.
Evan and
you're
I
right,
were prepping.
Right. I could have asked him about the tweet. I didn't.
Steiny, you're there's not a bigger, that sneaky first and foremost. We know where you
issue.
Are.
Why did you let him know that I had a private conversation with the boss?
He already knew for one. Number two, this office is the size of a cupboard.
But just when I think we got it under control and we don't need the boss, you veered off and
see.
I thought we had it, and you went into your Linus. The boss is your security blanket. I love it, but you like
Thanks,
to talk
Evan.
To him.
Appreciate it.
It's not a bad thing.
Appreciate it, Evan.
You insult his intelligence by assuming he didn't know.
No doubt about it.
He just said he didn't know.
On air.
Did you know?
What do you think? I got eyes everywhere. Like, this is a prison.
Oh, but I'm nosy. I'm nosy.
No, I admit it.
That you're nosy?
Yeah, sorry. Nosy by nature.
I remember when the boss called you a gossip. Remember that time in the meeting?
Now, see, now you're being D'Angelo Russell. He didn't say that. It was something to that. It hurt.
That's all right. Don't worry. I'll tell you about
how. I said I can't control if people share stuff with me. But he didn't say gossip. I don't
you
like
keep it. Pestering for info.
Please.
You know what?
I could try to come here and get out. Please.
You know what? I think you could do Woj's job.
What are you,
please? Just pestering, bothering, and texting,
That's
and
not
calling.
Who,
hey,
if
tell me something.
Call me, I answer. I don't call them. Hey, what were you guys talking about? Please.
You lead the league in texting at this station, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. That's a yes.
No.
I have not heard this from Steve Young. He was on the Rich.
Oh, Stevie Bomb. Woj Bomb, a Steve Bomb. I hadn't heard it. I'm excited because he keeps it real.
Well, you're not going to like it.
Oh.
You're not going to like it. Steve Young, Super Bowl quarterback on the Rich Eisen Show. Where do we go with Brock Purdy without these weapons?
If they're going to stay with the same plan, then the demand for Brock is even greater. He has to be even more honed on his efficiency to find players that aren't necessarily the top of their, you know, the top of the game like Debo, the top of the game like CMC. And now I've got to figure out how to get the ball to them, have them get open. And I'm going to inevitably, Susie, he's going to have to do more. He's going to have to move around more. He's going to have to put himself at risk more. And he's going to have to do things that aren't necessarily his strong suit. And that might provide great things in the future for the, you know, when they get to the Super Bowl this year, have to face Patrick Mahomes or face Lamar Jackson. The thing about the 49ers, when they face Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, any big, strong, prototypical quarterback today, they lose. So getting their guy more like that and under duress, like with injuries, might be a good thing.
Damn. I would just say to that was awesome. What if it goes bad, Steve, when he's trying? Because he's going to be out of his comfort zone. That's already happened. I get that, Steve. But, Stoney, what about the ending of that? When they play guys, top-tier
it almost sounds
quarterbacks,
like,
they lose. Like, whoa, Steve.
Oh, by the way, how come you didn't jump down Osler's throat?
Osler.
When you asked him, why do you think the 49ers haven't broken through? And he simply said, circumstances.
Yeah, that's just right. Because it was the first question of the interview, I'm not normally used to doing that. It did that, like, hey, but I'll let you get yours in. But what about that?
Look, it's all right,
Stevie.
There for us.
Oh,
these are the biggest two games of Brock Purdy's regular season career. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
All right.
Now, Super Bowl more important? Of course. But the circumstances around these next two, maybe three games, the spotlight is on Purdy. And to me, a lesser degree, it's on Brandon Ayuk.
And it sounds like it's
should
on Kyle
be that way.
If he wants him to be rolled out and do other things that maybe he's not strong at. Like, there's a lot in play for old Brock Purdy, man.
I know.
Now, what we don't know is how Kyle and John and Jed are looking at him. Like, yeah, they know the scenario is we're without some guys, the Avengers. They were having fun this morning, the superheroes. But do we really know Kyle is going to be like, oh, damn, this is what he looks like without him? I don't know. Or has that been solidified? That's information we'll never know.
What do you mean?
Until the season's over and then they give him the money.
No, I think we'll know in the next two games, unless I'm misunderstanding what you're saying. Like, he's the next two. Like
we're going to watch how Brock looks. It's going to be right. For the better, could be for
right.
The worse.
Could be the same.
But the impact from Kyle and John on who he is and what he can be and what the future holds for him, I'm not saying we're overreacting. They may, in a crazy way, Stoney, already know that this is no make or break for them.
Well, here's the other thing.
This time without Debo and McCaffrey. That's all. And I'm prepared for McCaffrey not to play this season. That, like, I know it's, he's on the IR, Stoney. I'm being real. Like, they might be slow play this thing to where, hey, man, we don't want to risk it the biscuit. So imagine him not being a part of this team. But Kyle Segoo, hold my beer. Look at 2019 and 21 when we went to the Super Bowl and NFC Championship and McCaffrey was nowhere around these parts.
I think we'll be able to tell something by the way the game looks the next 2 weeks. Like what I heard Steve Young say was, are they going to ask him to quarterback the same way? Using essentially the same game plan.
So I was like,
and if what I heard Steve Young saying was, well, if they do that, then Brock is going to have to do more.
Right.
Okay.
No, right.
But he's also saying that maybe Shanahan devises a game plan where he asks Purdy to do less because he doesn't want him in that position where he has to try to do too much. So
I always grown up Stoney knowing, and I mean this, you can't hide your, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but it sounds like it, you can't hide your quarterback in the NFL.
Well, the 49ers did with Garoppolo.
Did he? If you look at the third down conversion rate under Jimmy Garoppolo, Stoney, that was a strong point. Although, forget his one loss record, that was off the charts. But Jimmy would, they were good on third down. Last week they were 2 of 10, was not going to cut it. So that's what I'm eager to see. That's a collective two.
I mean, what if the 49ers ran 42 times on Saturday?
And obviously it must have mean they were gashing the Rams. I would have no problem with it.
But wouldn't you also say Kyle wanted to protect Purdy with the running game?
Well, did he do that against Minnesota? He almost threw for 40 times.
And was that a function of being behind? 888-957-9570 is the number. Hey, Goo, let me just throw you a curveball.
All day, baby.
There's 32 teams in the NFL. How many great coaches are there?
Wow. I feel confident right now of saying 7.
Do you have the names offhand?
Come on. The G is for Goo. John Harbaugh in Baltimore.
Okay.
Andy Reid.
Okay.
Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
Omar Epps in Pittsburgh.
Tomlin.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a heavy game.
Number 4.
McVay.
Sean McVay. Thank you. 5. And I'm getting a little worried here. You know what? I'm going to throw Taylor in there with Cincinnati. Okay. That's just me. Okay.
We'll see. And then you need one more.
And one more, I'm going to go. I'm going to park the bus, Stoney. Give me 1 second.
For me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
I'm looking. Give me
Harbaugh?
1 second.
Jim?
Oh, there we go, 7. I'm just already, I've already proven with him. So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
I don't. Is that more than you thought you were going to get from me about Ryan? Where are we going with this?
Yeah, I don't know where we're going with it.
Sean Payton is coaching his way out of that. I want to put him there too, but I didn't like how we treated Russell, and I don't like what's going on now. But you know what? I'm going to put Payton down.
Okay, I'll take Zach Taylor out.
Yeah, let's take
Zach. Okay, Payton.
Yeah.
He's okay, what about Mike McCarthy? Won a Super Bowl.
Stoney is.
Let's take Jim Harbaugh out and put McCarthy in. And I'll tell you why.
Well, then that's just predicated on who's won a Super Bowl.
Right.
But you could.
I've just noticed
coaches
that.
Come on, Stoney.
I've just noticed that you've put all Super Bowl winning quarterbacks on the list and Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. And then also, I want to go Detroit, Motown.
Campbell?
I want to put him in there. He's a leader of men.
Okay, so.
I'm putting Campbell in there, Stoney. And that's it.
What about...
I want to put Sirianni in there, but what you did yesterday and why you went off, I think you were missing the boat. It's not about his resume.
Let me tell you about missing the boat.
It's about his person that I think is a turnoff and why people tend to call him a fraud. You were right with your stuff. You were...
Oh, yeah.
Lord, how long... You were texting. And then you included the boss...
That's right.
Well, you guys are best friends now.
Because you guys...
Evan and I were taking the playoff.
All I endeavor for is that you guys talk about everybody the same way and stop showing favoritism to our guys.
That is so untrue.
No, and I'll explain where I'm coming from on the other side. By the way, that segment brought to you by Robert Half.
Yeah, we'll see. We're not there yet.